annual Dr. Martin and team work to get your prayer breakfast. I'd like to introduce the chairman.
God bless you, and I thank everybody for coming out this morning. I have a confession to make, and I do Martin Luther King every day all year round.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
It is my esteemed pleasure to introduce a young man that many years ago in his ministry, I saw him being a minister like he was supposed to be. He was very well respected in the community. My brother from another mother. And I respect him very much, and I know that he can be a blessing to somebody. Without
Amen.
Further ado, Reverend Darrell Martin, Joe, would you stand up so everybody knows who you are? And I have a confession to make. This man can preach. In the hood, they call him PhD because he can preach heaven down.
Reverend John Lou Johnson will do this morning's opening prayer.
I invite you to open your hearts and minds to God, to divinity, to the holy as you understand it. Holy One, Spirit of life and love, your prophet Isaiah called us to worship you by freeing the oppressed, by feeding the hungry, by clothing the naked, by housing the homeless. Your follower, St. Francis, cried out, "Make me an instrument of thy peace." Jesus instructed us to love our neighbors and our enemies as ourselves. Dr. Martin Luther King echoed all of these sentiments. Remind us again that ours are the hands which must do your work. We are the ones who must comfort the sick and lift up the poor. We are the ones who must challenge traditions to bring about justice. Strengthen our resolve, we pray, to live out our faith as doers of good works. Fill us with the Spirit, which will give us both courage and strength to move out into the world and there to make a difference. By our efforts, may your will be done. Amen.
I have the pleasure of introducing Dr. Darrell Martin. He is a native of Saginaw, Michigan. In 1978, he enlisted in the United States Army, where he served for 20 years before retiring March 1st, 2000. In January 1980, while serving with the United States Army, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And in February of 1982, he received a call to preach the gospel for 20 years while in the military. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ as our Lord. He is a licensed to preach at the St. John's Holy Trinity Church in 1983. And in 1985, he was ordained to carry out duties related to the ministry of the gospel. In 1986, he was appointed bishop prelate of the Willing Workers Crusading Church, Detroit, Michigan. Bishop Martin has pastored many churches throughout his military career. He has served as pastor of the Wertheim Community Gospel Service, Wertheim, Germany, and he has pastored at Camp Stanley Gospel Service, Camp Stanley, Korea. Bishop Martin has been actively engaged in the Manhattan community since his arrival in 1995. He and his wife, Regina, founded the Manhattan Christian Fellowship Church in November of 1987. He served on the Manhattan Emergency Shelter Board of Directors, the Salvation Army Board of Directors, and former member of the Manhattan Martin Luther King Memorial Committee. He serves with various campus ministries, leaders, and provides seminary training to students of the Willing Workers Body of Christian Church, Churches Network. Bishop Martin has earned an associate's and bachelor's degree from Cameron University. He has earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Human and Family Life Studies from Upper Iowa, and a Master's of Ministry degree and doctoral ministry degrees from Andersonville Theological Seminary. Bishop Martin and his wife, Regina, have been married for 24 years. They have 4 children, 11 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. Bishop Martin loves to read and enjoy playing his alto and soprano saxophone. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Bishop Martin.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and take a good look. I'm here. Amen. And my wife and I just recently celebrated 25 years of marriage.
All right.
Amen. It's a pleasure to be married to such a wonderful woman for such a long time. Amen. It just seems like yesterday, you know, when you're having fun. Well, I want to thank Manhattan, the MLK committee for inviting me to be your speaker today. Also, would like to thank all of you for taking time out of your busy schedules to come out this morning and just have some good fellowship and to eat and just commune with one another, share with one another. I see our Commissioner Linda Moore. It's good to see you here and some familiar faces. It's just good to be in this place this morning. Again, I'm happy to have my wife here with me this morning. We're here this morning to remember the life and the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I'd like to say Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Amen. And also, before I get into my little speech here today, I'd like to take a moment to really thank Jim Spencer. Where is he at again? He's my dear friend. He's been an advocate for the dream of Martin Luther King. I know the time I've been in Manhattan, at least 22 years or so, he's lifted up that, keeping alive the dream of Martin Luther King, and that's a significant task and endeavor. And I'd like for us to just give him a round of applause because he keeps it alive in our community. Thank you, Jim, for the healing of loyalty and dedication to the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Since this is a prayer breakfast, I think it's fitting to begin with scripture and prayer. And I noticed that you guys, well, I know you don't have Bible, but I know a lot of you guys have this electronic stuff. So I'm going to read one passage of scripture from the book of Micah. Micah, Old Testament scripture, Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. And just read along with me, or just listen with me here. It says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just come before your presence this morning. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be here today. I'm so glad that you're mindful of us here. You love us and you want nothing more for us than to be able to love one another and to respect one another and to look upon one another as equals in your creation. So, Father, I thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, we would pray. And so, that passage of scripture that I read, God, he has told us what he requires of us as people of God. And that is to do justice, to love mercy and kindness, and to walk humbly before our God. And I would like to begin by saying these few things that God has outlined in this verse of scripture, this passage of scripture. These are the qualities I want you to hear that really matter to God. And The expectation that God has outlined here will never change. And so today I want to just speak briefly from a place of the subject, a call to action. You know, there's nothing that I'm really going to say that should be new to anyone. I mean, I'm a baby boomer. I was born in that era, and I've seen a lot in my life. And the things that King stood for and that he fought for and struggled for are still things worth fighting for today. And so I want to begin by saying that not only was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. a great civil rights leader, in fact, he was a Nobel Peace Prize recipient. He, in himself, was the second American to be honored on his birthday with a federal holiday. And you know what? Some people think, and some people say it's a black holiday. But I want to remind you today that it's not a black holiday. It's an American holiday. And the man honored just happened to be a black man. And beyond all that I've said thus far, it's important for us to remember that Dr. King's vocation and what was his real vocation and his calling. He was a Baptist preacher, the son of a Baptist preacher who preached from the Holy Bible, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He believed in the redemptive work of Christ on the cross for all mankind. He believed that all mankind fell short of the glory of God, of God's intent for the creation of humankind. We fall short. We fell short since the beginning of man, even until this day. And so King believed that everlasting life was possible for all who would believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And so I can preach what I know, because what I know is what I believe. I'm not a polytheistic type of teacher. I don't believe that all gods lead to one God. I believe I'm a monotheistic type of a preacher. I believe that there is one God, and it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's my disclaimer this morning. Amen. It's important for us to remember it was King's work in the church that would catapult him into his national fame. His love for people set in motion his work, his struggle against discrimination based on color. Can I get with this?
Amen.
Race, religion, national origin, and gender. The Reverend Dr. King was a Christian leader called by God to minister to all people. He believed in the teachings of Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. He saw within the Holy Scriptures a message from passages such as Micah 6 and 8. A message of freedom, a message of hope, a message of love, a message which says people have the right to be treated with dignity and respect.
Amen.
You know, to him, not only was the gospel a theological message about God and his relationship with the universe and man, it was also, to King, a social gospel, a message about man's relationship with his fellow man. Can I get a witness? Y'all gonna make me preach a little bit, right? And listen, I'm not preaching. I'm just trying to humor you a little bit. I don't want you to go to sleep on me, all right? Can I get it? You know, man's relationship with man. Jesus himself said that we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And you should treat people, others, regardless of who they are, with respect and honor. You know, there's a great lesson to be learned through the life of King that continues to perpetuate itself from one generation to another, and that is this ideal about dreaming. We live in a democracy. We live in a place where each and every one of us can dream. And not only do we have the privilege to dream, but we have the ability to fulfill our dreams because of the equality that is taking place in our country, in this democracy. Can I get it? Y'all gonna help me now. So it was, and I just want to remind us to recap, because it's important for us to understand, why is it that this dream is spoken of every year? Like Jim said, it's not an everyday annual occurrence with him. It's an everyday life standard with him. So it was shortly after Dr. King accepted the pastoral position at Dexter Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and this was in 1954, that his work against discrimination began. You know the story. December 1st, 1955, this was the day that Miss Rosa Parks, a Negro streamstress, who was arrested for refusing to obey the bus driver's order to move from a seat in which she was sitting to let a white passenger sit down. Miss Parks was, she was returning home from a long day of work and being extremely tired from standing all day, she took the first seat available when she got on the bus. And since she refused to move, she was jailed and later tried in the Montgomery City court system and charged and found guilty of violating a state law that mandated segregation. Now this was in 1955 that it began. And so as a result of this incident, this one incident in history, now there's always been a struggle for freedom and the civil rights or rights of African American people. There's always been someone carrying a banner for equality and equal rights, and there's always been someone, but in the space of history, God chunked out a time for this young African American preacher to arise to stand up for justice for all, and as a result of his work, his legacy lives on today. But this incident, through this incident, an organization was established called the Montgomery Improvement Association. I don't know how many of you know about this, but this is just history. And there's so much that I can say. And I know my time is, you know, 15 minutes or so. And so I had to really examine my heart and because for me, 15 minutes, I'm going to tell you, I'm a history. I love history. And I'm fascinated with history, where we come from, why it is that we've had to go through so much. You know, even as a young man, I knew that there was something wrong with our system. Being a baby boomer, growing up in the early 50s and the 60s, I understood that there was something wrong. I actually lived during a time when you couldn't go into what we call the restaurant to buy a soda. I lived during that time when we had to go around the back of the door. Now, you may not recognize that. I mean, I got a little age on me. Me and Jim probably about around the same age here. And I've seen some things in my life, and I've always wondered why would people treat other people in such a disgracing manner? But through the work of Dr. King, things have changed. We still have a long way to go, but things have changed. When I look at our world today, and I have to kind of stay on script because I get to talking, but when I look at our world today, all around us, you know, the division, the acts of violence against minorities and African Americans, the workplace discriminations, all of these things are manifestations of old teachings. You know, there has to come a point in our history and our democracy that people accept people and treat people with dignity and respect, irregardless of their ethnicity or color or gender or whatever. Because, you know, when I read in my Bible, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody in, if there is such a thing, and which I believe that there is. But I don't have the authority to put anybody anywhere. My position is to love everyone and speak the truth of God in love. And sometimes speaking the truth in love as a Christian, our message is said to be hateful. But and there have been some incidents of a display of hate in the Christian so-called community. But the majority of the Christian folk that I associate with, that I know, are loving, respecting, and honorable people who regard life as precious in the sight of God. And so we simply say what God says. And as a result, we have a message of hate. But I'm here to tell you that that's not the case. Our message is simply fulfilling the great commission that he has imposed upon us. That is my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is to go into all the world. Can I get a witness? And to go into all the world. Can I get a witness? Y'all ain't saying that until they talk to me now. You know, I'm not a Baptist preacher, I'm just a preacher. Go into all of the world. Baptize the people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said. And teaching them, or making disciples of them and teaching them to observe all things that I have said. And he says, I'll be with you throughout all the ages. So this is not a preaching message, but I need to get a little in there because I am who I am. Am I right about it? And so, let me get back here. Where was I at? And so as Martin Luther King was voted to be president of this Montgomery Improvement Association, and it was created to strategize against how are we going to deal with the issues of inequality and injustice, and how are we going to address these things in a system where we're denied rights that are granted to us by our own Constitution. He initiated what I believe we are here for today. And that is, he initiated prayer. There was a great mobilization of churches in the area and in the region to come together to pray, to seek God's guidance, to seek his faith, to provide means of how they should address these issues. And later they would determine that the best way to do that would to be to protest. Realizing that a decision to protest the status quo would undoubtedly create resistance, a plan of action. As a plan of action, Dr. King drew heavily on the philosophy of Gandhi, who taught that nonviolent resistance to oppression and injustice was the way to go because it meant non-cooperation with evil and that the power of love and truth could be a mighty, powerful vehicle for social change. Dr. King adopted this philosophy as a means of pursuing social change. He stated to his followers from the very beginning of his position, from his position and from the civil rights position, he said that one of the great glories of America, the democracy, is that people have the right to protest for rights. According to the Constitution, which speaks of equal rights and the rights of people to protest and institute change when necessary. He drew upon the Constitution of the United States as a means of protesting the behavior that was exhibited on African American people and other minority groups of his day. And so King went on to say, and I know I only have 15 minutes, I'm going to step it up a little bit here. He went on to say to his followers, this movement is a nonviolent protest. And we are depending on moral and spiritual forces using this method of passive resistance. And this resistance, King says, and I quote, is not stagnant passivity, a doing nothing method. He says it is not passive non-resistance to evil, it is active non-violent resistance to evil. And it's not a method for cowards, end quote. He said we have resisted, King says, because freedom is never given to anyone. For the oppressor has you in domination because he plans to keep you there. He never voluntarily gives up. And it is where the strong resistance comes. We've got to keep on, he said. Keeping on in order to gain our social freedoms. And it's done through the pressure, he says, that comes about from people who are the oppressed. So, Dr. King's message is a message that's still alive today. It's a message that calls for people of every generation to take action against inequality. It's a call to action. That's why the dream is still alive, because his dream inspires people of every generation to stand against inequality, discrimination, and the like. His leadership was masterful. He was a man of action, even as those who followed him were being murdered, were being beaten and jailed and spit upon. He maintained his commitment to a nonviolent approach to bring about change. He often quoted words of Jesus in his sermons and in his speeches, which says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which spitefully use you or despitefully use you and persecute you. And since those early days of the civil rights movement, the fight and struggle of equality and injustice continues on today. There are many things we still have to contend with in our day, and time won't allow me to go through any of them. But all you have to do is turn on your television. It doesn't matter whether you're looking at Fox News or or CNN or MBS. It doesn't matter. The news is never really good news. Can I get a witness? Our world is in chaos. Our system of government is, as we know, is being threatened. The country is divided on many fronts. But what I believe is necessary is that we get back to what I believe is imperative to change, and that is to pray. God said, if my people, come on now, I'm talking about his people, would humble themselves and pray and seek his face, he says, and turn from their wicked ways, then God says from heaven, I will hear their prayer, and I will heal their land. And there are many things that we have to contend with. So why is it important for us to remember the life and legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. today? Well, let me tell you, it's important because his work inspires others in their generation to take action against the injustices of society. It's important because of the time and energy King devoted to the civil rights movement, which helped end segregation and eliminate many unfair practices throughout this nation, and those that negatively affected the minority and African Americans. It's still a call, that is, his dream is still alive today. It's still a call of action. It's still alive today. It's still alive today. It's still alive today. That is a call to action. It's still alive, a call to nonviolent protest as means of bringing about social change and as a means of combating equality. I don't believe, as King also did not believe, that violence was the answer to bring about change.
That's right.
Violence only creates violence.
That's it.
And so we cannot live today in the past. But we must not forget the struggle and the battle which have been waged in the past against injustice. We all must face our own battles of the day. Hatred, racism, bigotry. We must face those things today. Similarly, police brutality, income disparity, homelessness and sexual perversion and immorality. We all must face these challenges today. And you know the list goes on and on and on. But I believe today that prayer is our first defense. Prayer is a first step in the call to action. Like King called his congregations and the congregations associated in Montgomery and Alabama and Atlanta and the southern regions to call the people to prayer. We need to get back to the place of prayer and invite God to come and help us in our country, in our systems of government. We need his help after all. Jesus says that we ought to pray. So let me move on here. So, yes, the legacy of Dr. King in itself is a call to action, a call to stand against evils in our day, wherever it may manifest itself. His life is a reminder that we are all called to action, and that prayer is important, especially if you are a Christian. Dr. King once said, and I quote,
To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. End quote. His life is a reminder that we are all called to action. That means we're called to show up when there are acts of discrimination or violations of human rights. We must show up. The time is always right to do what is right. His life is a reminder that we are all called not only to show up, but to stand up and be accounted with those who stand against acts of wrongdoing taking place that affect our freedoms and civil liberties. His life is a reminder that we are all called to show up, to stand up, and to speak up against the mistreatment of others. We cannot be silent. To be silent is to consent with what's happening. And here, because God has revealed unto us, and this we must do because God has revealed unto us a portion of his mind, that he has shown us what he requires of his people. Micah the prophet tells us, and I say again, God has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, of all of us, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. These are the qualities that really matter to God. And the expectation of God will never change because such qualities reflect the heart of God. And Jesus says the same in chapter 23, 22 through 24. And so I want for us to remember today, if you don't remember anything, remember that this holiday is about freedom. It's about liberty. It's about how we treat our fellow man. And celebrating such a day reminds us that we are all called to stand against the injustices that's in our community and in our society. Because we are all American citizens. And the Constitution guarantees us the freedoms and the liberties without discrimination.
There it is.
Thank you for this time.
Can I get one more round of applause for this man? I'd like to introduce Reverend Sterling Hedges for our closing prayer.
All right.
Do them, dude. You know, I'll just say this, that the Bible says that men ought to always pray and not faint. And prayer is the word of the day. It's the word of the day.
Yes,
we have to put our efforts and our minds and hearts together. And that it's not just a thing of how to put it, embracing something, but taking ownership of it. And so many times we have causes that we look at it, we might embrace it, but don't take ownership. And the reason why his legacy has gone throughout all these years with success, because some people have not just embraced it, they take ownership. And our society and this community, our need to take ownership of things that affect our lives is imperative. And we, our prayer is that we can all do that and not just come to this every year. What a great list. A man preached his socks off today, you know, but the thing about preaching your socks off is about taking ownership of something that's important and writing it out till it comes to a greater reality, you know?
Amen.
Just pray. Father, we thank you for the legacy of Dr. King and
thank you for his boldness to not just to embrace a vision, but to take ownership of it and walk it out. Father, give us that resolve to, you know, to take ownership of something so powerful and something so life-altering that it defines us and makes everything around us better, brings everything into a better plane of unity that he so much desired in his life and that he put into play, that we are now keeping in play as we embrace and own, take ownership of that which he had, what he has accomplished, and furthering and pushing it down the line, and we can see it coming to total fruition in our lives. And so we thank you for this host of people here this morning that have come to be a part to celebrate his life and his legacy, but also the vision, Lord, to make our country better and making sure that every person that lives in this country is treated fairly and equally.
Yes,
Lord. And being able to possess that what this country says, what this Constitution says, is rightfully ours. And so we thank you for this time together. We pray, Lord, that these things will stay not just in our mind, but we will grab a hold of our hearts and give us the power to come into an action that causes change to happen in our society, in this community, and in the world. Father, we thank you for it and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I gotta say, this concludes our community function. Thank you for all for being here. We have a mural right over there. If you haven't signed on the mural, can anybody hear me? If you haven't signed on the mural, please get over here. If you haven't signed on the mural, please get on there. We're moving forward. It's the quilt. I'd like to thank you for your attendance, and we're keeping the dream alive. Thank you very much.